Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
So we've entered the season of Lent, a time that in the church year is known for fasting and penitence and reflection and being intentional about where we are in our spiritual growth. It's a time where we give things up in order that we will grow closer to God and closer to our neighbors. And it's also a time to begin practicing new habits that will help us on our journey in faith. Sometimes this might include picking up old habits that we have dropped off, that we know have helped us and we need to regain again. This season of Lent that we're now in is a great time to do what the great Saint John Wesley calls practicing works of piety and practicing works of mercy. Doing those which are both shaping our neighbors and shaping us, that which is internal and external. It's a good season to think about who we are and how we're interacting with others. And so, I don't know if any of you guys have seen this show. There was a show that used to be on TV Land. They ended up canceling after two seasons, unfortunately. It was a show called In Pastor, which was a play on words about being an imposter. So it was this TV show about this character named Buddy Dobbs. And he comes in and he's doing the religious thing, but he's doing it without any of the religion. You see, Buddy Dobbs was a fugitive. He was running from the law, and he was also running from some bad guys. You see, Buddy had a gambling problem, and he was in pretty deep with some loan sharks. And so in order to hide from these loan sharks that were coming after him, he ended up stealing the identity of a recently deceased pastor who was supposed to move to a new city. And so he ends up moving to this small town community called Ladner. And while he's there, he has this hope that he can continue to pretend to be this pastor just long enough that he can raise the money he needs, and then he can flee, he can leave the city, he can leave the church, and he can finally pay off his loan sharks. And it's interesting because the church and the townspeople, they end up really liking Buddy. They end up thinking he's this fresh, new, innovative pastor with all these really cool ideas. And on paper and to the community, it looks like he's doing all the right things, but he's doing them for all the wrong reasons. You see, everything he was doing, none of it was out of love for the townspeople. None of it was out of love for the church. None of it was being done for God. It was all done to meet his own selfish needs. He played the pastor so that he could get what it was that he needed. And I would love to say that's the first time anybody has ever used religion in a misrepresented way. That's the first time anybody has ever used religion incorrectly. That's the first time anyone has used religion to serve oneself rather than serving God and neighbor. I would love to say that. But unfortunately, we've had this problem for thousands and thousands of years. If we look back to Isaiah, in the 58th chapter, he has this to say. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and striking each other with wicked fist. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and lying on sackcloth ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is this not the kind of fast I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters will never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will rise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. This is the word of the Lord. And so here we are, starting the season of Lent, a season which is known for fasting, a season which, if you go up to somebody and say, "What is Lent about?" they normally will respond with fasting. We're starting this season, and yet we started off by reading about how the practice of fasting was not what God wanted. Gets kind of confusing. I was mentioning earlier to somebody that today's passage, although it's not the lectionary passage for today, is actually the passage for Ash Wednesday from this previous week. And so the very first day of Lent, the very first day we go around practicing our fast, we hear this scripture saying, "This isn't what I want." And so we have to think about what's going on here, to look at what they were doing and what we're doing and what it means to fast. And of course, this isn't the first time that we see Isaiah say something like this to his people. Isaiah is kind of, he can be kind of hard sometimes. The very first chapter, he starts off telling them everything they're doing wrong. And so we see that Isaiah is pretty used to telling his people what they need to do compared to what it is that they've been doing. It seems like that's something that we as a church need to constantly remember. I know I need to be told that often, is look at why you're doing what you're doing. What's the reason behind it? I was mentioning, I think it was to Diane yesterday, when I go to the NYI council meetings, the NYI council gets really annoyed with me because basically after anything they say, I ask them the question, "Well, why are we doing that? What's the purpose behind that?" To which sometimes they give a really good answer, and other times the response is, "Well, we haven't really thought about that. We've just kind of always done it." And so I think this passage today helps to look us in the face and say, "Why are you doing that? What's the purpose behind this?" And you see, there's two different things going on, I think. There's the idea of the wrong kind of fast, but then there's also a right kind of fast. There's a kind of fast that God looks at and says, "What are you doing?" And there's another type of fast that I believe God looks at and says, "This is what this was made for. This is the reason behind this." This act of fasting, this way that we worship, it's not the fasting that God has a problem with. In fact, I think God calls us to fast at certain times, and that it's good for us to fast. And that's not what God has the issue with. I think it was how they were doing it and the attitude behind what they were doing. It seems to me that the issue was with the religiosity and the lack of heart and the lack of meaning behind any of it. It almost sounds like in the gospel passage, not the one that we read today, but elsewhere in the gospel, where you see the lofty rich man beside the poor, small, poor man. And he walks up and he goes, "Thank God I'm not like this sinner." You kind of missed the point there. You know? You kind of missed the point where we're saying, "Thank God I'm not like this sinner over here." It's that mentality and that attitude where really, I think when we fast, we should be like that poor sinner who walks up and goes to the altar and says, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." It's that type of attitude. See, it seems like this passage in Isaiah, it seems like those that Isaiah was addressing, they were going against this idea of when you fast, do not look somber and make a show of it. It seems like for them it was, we're going to look very somber and we're going to make quite a show of it. It seems like it's this hypocritical worship, or honestly, it might not even be worship at all. Fasting without obedience to the covenant. Fasting without caring for justice or righteousness. Fasting solely to fast and to look like we are fasting without any intent of any type of change. It's funny, there's a comedian named John Crist who the day before Ash Wednesday, he posted this on his Twitter. He said, "Can't wait to see all the posts about how they're giving up posting on social media," which I was kind of guilty of because I posted on social media saying, "I'm giving up social media." but he hit the nail on the head with that, where he was like, a lot of us give things up because we want people to know we're giving things up. Which kind of goes against the point of giving them up. It's something to do to grow closer to God. Not to show, look at how holy I am during this season of Lent. So holy that I can give up Facebook. Which is kind of ridiculous when you think about it. And so it's a time not just to show that we're fasting, but a time to actually be changed. A time to actually grow. I mentioned earlier that, you know, with giving up social media for Lent this year, I've been shocked at how much I've actually enjoyed being away. Because over these last 4 days, I can already see a growth in my anxiety level because I'm not being exposed constantly to all the garbage in all of my friends' lives. You know, I love my friends, but I don't need to know that their cat Stubby broke its leg and, you know, there's just different things like that I don't need to take on. And so it's been nice that now the only time I get the news is when I turn on the TV at night. Instead of being bombarded with it 24/7, it's half an hour and it's more manageable. So when we fast with the intent of having God work in us and through us. It's funny, in this Isaiah passage, we see that their fasting actually leads to them fighting with one another. We see them coming at each other with wicked fists. And I think this is the case because although they're trying to look holy, there's no inward holiness taking place. There's nothing going on other than we want to look the part. And I think these wicked fists come about when we fast for ourselves, you know, fast when we make it about ourselves rather than about others and about God and about growing closer. And so in verse 5, different scriptures phrase it different ways. One of it says, "Is this the kind of fast that I require? Is this the fasting that I choose? Is this the fast that I have chosen for you?" I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. But I think Isaiah expects the response to be a resounding no. Is this what I choose for you? No, this is not it. And so Isaiah invites us to look at the right type of fasting for the season of Lent. Because fasting isn't a bad thing. I know we've kind of taken some shots at it so far, but fasting isn't a bad thing if it's done for the right reasons. As with most practices, though, it's not meaningful in its own right. It is made meaningful by what's going on through it. It's not the appearance of holiness that makes it meaningful. It's the actual holiness taking place that makes it meaningful. It can't solely be fasting for us. It needs to be fasting for the sake of other. Again, I feel like I'm being kind of contradictive here and hypocritical because I keep talking about my own Lenten fast. But one of the things that it's helped me to do is it's helped me, even in 4 days, to look at the world as a slightly better place because I'm not exposed to all the negative constantly. It's helping me to look at my neighbors with less anxiety. It's helping me to see the world as a more beautiful place because I'm not looking at the dark of it all the time. Saint Ephrem, who's an early church saint, tells us that the right kind of fasting cannot be done if it's solely to serve our own ends and purposes. That the right kind of fasting must be done to serve God and to serve neighbor. And honestly, I think when we boil it down, that if it really is a fast that's serving God, it'll come out in acts of love, acts of mercy, and acts of justice to others. As John Wesley would say, they come out as acts of mercy. Our act of piety, fasting, results in our acts of mercy towards others. This right kind of fast reminds us where we are. If we look throughout Scripture and the different times that they fasted, we see that it was to remind the Israelites that they were once slaves in Egypt and that they are now free, and that they are to free the slaves that are around them, that they are to loosen the bonds of slavery of those they come into contact with. It was to remind the Israelites that they were once in bondage to Babylon, and that they are now released, and that they are to release the captives around them. I think for us, it reminds us that we were once bound to sin and death, but we have been set free, and our fasts are to help bring others out of their bondages. Sometimes, honestly, I think part of our fast is to just say that, yes, we can do it. With the help of God, we can get through this. I know I sound like such a millennial right now, and it's kind of funny for me to even think about it. But last Sunday, when I was talking to my friend Michael about giving up Facebook for Lent, I kept thinking, I have no idea how I'm going to get through this. I kept thinking, I spend so much time on Facebook and Twitter, and that's where I get all my information, and that's where I contact so many of my friends and where I keep up with them. How am I going to do this? This season so far, we'll see what it's like next week, but so far it's been God reminding me that, yes, you can do this. And that there are many other ways to reach out to your friends. And I've started to use my phone more for the actual purpose of the phone calls. And so the right type of fast reminds us of the good things that we had and we're doing too, but that might need to be reinstated to help us better love God and neighbor. One of the things that this fast has helped me with is it's reminded me of my love of reading, and I've already been reading a lot this year, but now instead of those few free minutes, instead of reading Facebook, I'm reading Original Blessing, or another book that I'm reading with my friend Michael called 30 Steps, or these different things. I'm finding little times of life-giving. The right fast is one that enables us to help give roots to those who have been uprooted. I know I have a few friends, I don't know about you all, but I have a few friends that are seriously addicted to social media. And it is ruining their lives because they can't do anything without needing for it to be liked or loved or wow or whatever the other reactions are on Facebook. And I'm probably guilty of that too, of going someplace to show people that I've gone to this place instead of going to this place to be present in that place. I think the right type of fast, especially when we look at food and fasting with food, is a type of fast that helps us to say, I have enough. Here, you take half. The right type of fast invites others into the kingdom. The right type of fast is done in order to break the chains that oppress others and keep others out. And so during this season of Lent, I think it's important for us to ask, what is it that our fast needs to break? What is it that we need to do in order to fast in a way that shows our love for God and for neighbor? As we journey throughout this season of Lent, what is it that we need to give up that will remind us of our mortality, of our deep, deep need for God? Because that's part of what this season is about, is to remind us that we are humans and that we are mortal. One of the most sobering things I've done is on Ash Wednesdays, when marking people's heads with ashes, marking them with the sign of the cross and reminding them, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. It's a deeply humbling thing to be reminded that we are going to die, but that through our good God we will live again. Let us remember and think about how others, especially all around us here in this area, in the greater Portland area, how they desperately need God too, and how our fasts are to be ones that will help us to be tools that will be used by God to better love God and to better love our neighbors. And so as we go throughout the season of Lent and as we practice our right fast, here are some questions that I think we should ponder. What are some of the areas in our lives where we see others in bondage? Isaiah reminds us that we are called to break the yoke of the oppressed. Where are those yokes? What kind of fast do we need to do that allows our lives to intersect with the lives of the broken? Again, for me, part of it is giving up Facebook when I'm at restaurants or when I'm out and about helps me to see the people around me. Not just as peripherals on the side, but to actually see them as people and to look at them and see who they are. What kind of fast do I need to do that will help me better my love of God and my love for neighbors? During this Lenten season, our fast should result in acts of love towards neighbor, as well as acts of worship to God. If we fast without love, if we go into it sour-faced, it might be, as what St. Paul says, as a resounding gong. I believe it was St. Teresa of Avila who said, Lord, save us from sour-faced saints. Lord, save us from fasting somberly and with sour faces. And finally, St. John Climacus, who wrote the Ladder of Divine Ascent in the early church days, had this to say, and I think it's a good quote for us throughout this Lenten season. One foot is advanced toward service, while the other stays firmly planted in prayer. And so as we begin to fast this Lenten season, working on ourselves, but also working on the ways we can interact with God and others, would you pray with me this morning? Saint Ephrem also prayed this prayer during his lifetime, and we will pray it today. O Lord and Master of our lives, grant us not spirits of sloth, despondency, lust for power, and idle talk, but rather grant us spirits of chastity, humility, patience, and love. O Lord and King, grant us to see our own faults and not to condemn our brothers or sisters. For blessed are you unto the ages of ages. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.